And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the DKP here at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com. We are into December. Christmas is fast approaching, and that means Ring of Honor have one of their biggest shows of the year coming up this weekend in New York City. It is Final Battle, and the man who will be in the title match, the main event on that night, Mr. Adam Cole, a regular guest on this show since 2010, I want to say, and he's back on for what we think is either his 9th or 10th appearance. Adam, how are you doing, buddy?
No, I'm doing great, man. I hope this is my 10th appearance, like my 10th anniversary appearance with you guys. That'd be pretty cool considering this is a good show.
I think it is, because I think there was like one appearance you made on the show, like when I think at 16 carat or something like that, Alan. So like, I think
we've had two ones in person. I think we did one in Germany and then we did one in New Orleans the day after you and coincidentally Jay Briscoe, had your last Ring of Honor title match. And, I think you'll probably remember this well when we were talking at that point. I think it was where on the site where Dragon Gate USA were running their shows, and you were hobbling around, sir. That match took quite a lot out of you. Describe what that was like the next day after that match.
Yeah, that absolutely 100% was the most brutal match that I was ever involved in as far as how my body felt afterwards. Like, in some cases it felt like how my body used to feel like my first few days at wrestling school. Like, it was like my body was adjusting to bumping all over again, but instead of bumping, it was adjusting to throwing chairs at my skull and, falling on top of ladders and really, really brutal. Like, I remember wrestling the next day at the television taping, and wrestling was almost like going to the chiropractor. Like, I actually felt better after I had wrestled that next night, but certainly brutal. I've got to be up there with one of the most violent matches I was ever in. And coincidentally, I can certainly tell you guys the Fight Without Honor is going to top it, so it's going to be pretty wild.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because when the ladder war happened, and you probably heard this as much as I did, a lot of people were saying in the days after that match that this match was like it crossed the line in terms of violence. Right. It was a little too much, and you probably heard that as much as I did. And were you surprised when this rematch was announced and it was another for lack of a better term, gimmick match where it's going to be like really violent and hardcore kind of stuff? Were you surprised when Ring of Honor took that route with this second match as opposed to going with the more straight singles match?
Sure. No, I wasn't surprised at all that Ring of Honor decided to go the route of the Fight Without Honor, because to me, over the past 2 years or year and a half, I think me and Jay Briscoe has kind of been the premier feud in the company. And I think because we've already done Ladder War and that was so violent, Fight Without Honor was the natural selection. However, as far as surprises, I also wasn't surprised that the fans were so offended by Ladder War, because me and Jay kind of had this understanding of we had no desire of having a quote-unquote match of the year. We knew where this was going, and we knew the potential that we had with this feud. We wanted it to be viewed as almost like the feud of the year in Ring of Honor. So that's what we've kind of been building on this whole time. Certainly, there will be a different approach in the way that we go about things in Fight Without Honor, because it's a different stipulation, it's a different audience, and there will be different elements in the match that we'll get to play off of. But it'll certainly be interesting, and I think there will be a lot of surprises and a lot of excitement, and I think New York City will better embrace the violence, per se.
The new venue where this show is being held, have you had a chance to check it out, or have you even seen it from the outside or anything yet? Because I hadn't heard about it before this show was, and obviously I'm over here in Ireland, so I'm not going to know venues in New York particularly well, but it sounds like it's a relatively new building.
You know what it was, Alan? It was a building back when Shotgun Saturday Night used to have, like, remember like the nightclub shows that they had like their first like couple weeks before they switched it, like right before the Raw tapings? I think it's like one of those buildings, isn't it, Adam?
Really?
Like, because that's what I heard, like it's Terminal 6 now, right? But like it used to be something before that, and I look it up, and I wish I should have checked it before the show, but I believe it was it's one of those kind of venues.
Yeah, man, I actually hadn't heard that, but what I had heard was that Terminal 5 with the next exclus, as opposed to the Hammerstein Ballroom, and I haven't been inside, but I've seen pictures of that place packed, and it looks freaking awesome. Like, I'm so excited about it. Like, it seems like a kind of building where the noise will really be able to travel well. It looks very much like a fight club atmosphere. It's just, I don't know, it's awesome. I'm really excited about it, especially because the event sold out.
Also on that show, we've got a lot of crazy matches. I'm really looking forward to Jay Lethal and Matt Sydal, who I think Jay has just been... he's really been coming into his own in the last couple of months. Matt Sydal's looked really good since returning to action. We've got a Ring of Honor tag title match with Red Dragon against the Time Splitters, a bunch of other stuff. What else is there on the card other than your match that you're going to be looking to, as a fan, which we know you are? Are you going to be looking to have an eye on during the course of the show?
Sure. You know, I loved those two matches that you listed, but actually the one that I'm particularly looking at is, I believe it's the Young Bucks and ACH versus the Addiction and Cedric, or is it ACH and Cedric the other way around? I think I got it right.
Yeah, that should be crazy. Expecting the Bucks to be on this card for whatever reason. I just couldn't, because they had like the other tag team title match set, so I was like, okay, yeah, that's the tag match, so we won't be seeing the Bucks on this show, that's grand, but then they added the Bucks to this crazy six-man. I was like, oh, wow, okay, yeah. this gives the show an extra little bit of spice on top of everything else it already
for
had.
For sure, and to me, the Young Bucks in the six-man element with guys as good as the Addiction and ACH and Cedric in there also, I mean, it's a prime environment for those guys. It's a perfect crowd to do it in front of. I certainly think that's going to be a match that a lot of people are going to be talking about.
As far as ROH goes as a whole this year, where you kind of saw the company at the start of the year and where it is now, what do you think have been some of the positive strides that Ring of Honor has taken throughout 2014? Because personally, I think it's been a really positive year for the company. I think they've done a lot of things right. I think the TV has really got to the point which I always kind of wanted for Ring of Honor TV, which I don't think it was at back in the HDNet days. There's a lot of things I wasn't wild about back then on the TV, and it's time to get going on Sinclair as well. And I think in the last year, it's really hit its stride. And I think the big shows and the availability of the big shows in terms of being able to see them on demand so soon after they happen, and with a lot of them being able to see them live, it's a very easy to follow product now. And I think the product, as far as what's presented, has been really good in 2014. What have been some of your key things for the company this year?
Yeah, first of all, I completely agree with you. I think that 2014 has been the best year that Ring of Honor has had in a really long time. And more importantly than anything else, I think the vibe amongst wrestling fans about Ring of Honor is very, very exciting. Like, people are excited to talk about Ring of Honor again. They're excited to tune into the events. The energy at the live events is better. The attendance has been better literally across the board in every market that we run. And this is going to sound crazy to some people, but I think it seriously started with us bringing in AJ Styles at the first TV taping at the beginning of the year. I think AJ Styles, yeah, he's one of the very few guys who genuinely is a draw on any card that you put him on. Like to me, a lot of independent cards, like, matches draw, like dream matches draw. It's like a so-and-so versus so-and-so. Oh, man, I really want to go see that. But AJ Styles is a guy, it's just you put him on a poster, and I think we sold 500 more tickets just because AJ was on the card. So I think...
Well, I was going to say, yeah, him and Drew and CZW was like maybe the biggest crowd outside of a Cage of Death. It was actually maybe even bigger than Cage of Death. And you obviously know how big those crowds are for that company. And AJ, I think, even drew Cage of Death, which is like the promotion's, you know, premier match. So that tells you like how like he is one of the big, like, you know, names, you know, that could like really kind of switch around the company. And I think he kind of did that. Like those tapings in Nashville really like made a statement, I think.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, AJ is just such a massive, massive star. And then on top of that, I think obviously another great step in the right direction for the company is our relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Getting to do those two massive supercard events, Global Wars and World of Worlds. They were really, really well received events, I think, by most people. And on top of that, it got some of the Ring of Honor guys the chance to go over the world from New Japan.
Including yourself. And and that seems like a perfect segue.
Well, just one second. I just kind of want to get into that for a minute. Like, you wrestled Jushin Liger. Like, is that crazy just because, you know, he's a guy that, I mean, you know, he wrestled Brian Pillman on Super Brawl 92, you know? But, like, he's, like, not only that, but, like, you guys went out there and you had a great match. It's like, you know, no matter how old he is, like, he still can go. And, like, you two proved that, man. Like, it really, like, you guys had, like, one of the best matches, like, of those two shows that you said were very critically acclaimed. Like, you know, that match, like, sticks out, so... You did a really good job with that. Like, any like quick memories of that match? You know, because obviously, it was in the same building. You know, the match with Kyle, where, you know, you got busted open a year ago, and that kind of maybe made you a little bit more famous. You know, so like it really kind of maybe showed a lot where, like, you know, Alan alluded to, and we'll talk about more in a minute. Like, you're basically going to the, you know, New Japan.
Right. Man, it was so cool on so many levels. Like, first of all, I know it's tradition, and Ring of Honor is normally very good about this, how the champion always comes out second, but I so desperately wanted to come out first just because I wanted to be in the ring when Liger got to walk down and when he came to the ring and got the streamers. But
that video they did for his entrance was amazing.
Yeah, incredible. It was awesome, and it was something that he deserved because, you know, it's funny. You know, Tanahashi and Okada and Nakamura, they're all giant stars in Japan, and they're very well respected here in the United States. But to me, no question, Jushin Liger was the most popular Japanese talent in New York that night. I mean, he's just so recognizable, and everyone loved him, so it was so cool for me to get the chance to get in there with him. And on top of that, it was my mother's 50th birthday. And I got her to be able to come in and watch me wrestle literally a professional wrestling legend on her 50th birthday. It was a very cool moment for me.
That's awesome. What was Liger like as a guy to work with? Was he very relaxed about the whole thing?
Oh, he was unbelievable. So polite, so nice. A little bit of backstory. He let me put together the entire match, which I thought was pretty neat.
Awesome.
Considering he is coming up on 50, I don't know if he turned 50 yet.
Yeah.
He did turn 50, but it was so cool that I got the chance, not only, like I said, to work with him, but that he trusted me enough to put it together. Working with him was such a pleasure and such a joy.
And was there, obviously, without going into too much of the finer details, was there anything that kind of, when you're like maybe suggesting things, was there anything that I'm curious, like, did he have like a really positive reaction to, or he, like an idea where he really liked or anything like that? Just to get inside the mind of a guy like Jushin Liger, I think.
Sure. Actually, the funniest thing to me was I was most nervous because it was very important to me when we were putting this match together. Again, accentuating strengths and hiding weaknesses, and I am by no means saying that Jushin Liger has any weaknesses, but what I am getting at was we were following a very exciting tag team match that was my personal favorite tag team match of the year with Red Dragon and the Young Bucks. We were immediately after that, so we knew it was in our best interest to keep this thing exciting, do a nice little highlight reel for Jushin Liger, me to get some heat, and us to get out of there. And again, a very fun, solid little match, and it was great, and it was awesome, and a lot of people really enjoyed it. I still get tweets about it today But the thing that I was most worried about was I was so sold on the idea of this legend, you know, extending his hand and me just putting the belt in his face and laughing and walking away. So I was so nervous to ask him if this was okay. And his eyes lit up. He goes, no, great, heat.
Yeah.
He kept saying over and over again. And how happy he was with that. So I just thought it was so neat that a legend like that understand and was so willing to let me have that moment of being a total jerk.
Exactly.
And it sold pretty great. That's awesome. And yeah, it was awesome.
That's
fantastic. Because he's old school, man. You know, like, he understands, like, you're still going to be there next week. You know what I mean? He's gone. He's going back to Japan. You know, you're still the heel and you need to get over, you know, with the heat. So, like,
exactly.
He gets it, man. He's no fool, man. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. So,
yep,
that's awesome.
Yep, exactly. So unselfish.
So, yeah, let's talk Japan and going over for the G1 Climax final where you teamed with Mike Bennett over there. And first of all, just upon arriving at the venue and seeing just kind of this gigantic arena that you'd be wrestling in, and just how mind-blowing was that? And then when it filled up and when you had, like, when you're going, just time to go to the ring, was there a kind of different sense of kind of butterflies at that point, just kind of seeing the crowd that you had and the venue you were in front of?
Yeah, there was first, arriving to the venue, me and Kyle O'Reilly specifically just looked at each other and just smiled. And it was so funny because we didn't even say anything to each other because there was nothing that you could say to describe this feeling. I sat by myself for a little bit. And of course, your mind plays this memory reel in your head where you're thinking, oh man, I remember sitting on my grandmother's lap watching WrestleMania 15. And seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin for the first time and saying, man, wrestling's really cool. Oh, man, it would be so cool to wrestle sometime in a really big building. And there I was sitting there in Japan, in the premier wrestling organization in Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and getting to work such a giant event. I'm sitting here trying to describe it, but I can't. And then you get your game face on, and you're ready to go and you're about to walk out and you're listening to the people and you can hear the people and you're getting warmed up and you know that, your music's next. And that stage was so gigantic. I mean, it felt like a WrestleMania. So when I walked out and we stood on that stage, there certainly was that moment of course, by any means, I am not saying that I want my career to be over. And I still feel like I have a lot more that I would like to accomplish in wrestling. But there was that small moment inside of me that said, if this is the last match that I wrestle, that'd be pretty cool. Like, just because it was so awesome. Like, I would be content with my career, if that makes sense.
Ending your career against Captain New Japan.
Right.
I love that. I love that.
I don't know if I did a good job explaining that, but what I was trying to say was just that certainly was one of the most important things that ever happened to me in my life. It was really cool.
That's awesome. I'm curious, since obviously she's seen a lot of big stages in her career, what was Maria's reaction to just all that? Like, was she kind of taken aback by it, or for her was it just kind of another day at the office?
Yeah, that's such a great question, and I certainly think Maria was taken aback by it. That was the cool thing for me, because I remember thinking, and Maria's such a sweetheart, but I remember thinking Maria was going to think, oh yeah, this is just another day at the office, this is fine, but she would kind of no-sell it almost. Like, be excited, because she's always excited about matches, but not like kids in a candy store, like all of us were. And Maria was just as excited as we were and so blown away by the entire thing as we were. She loved the chance getting to go over there, and I know she really wants to go again, which she's over there now. So
I heard they're doing really great over there at the moment. I saw this one match, and it was really enjoyable, but I've heard, like, literally all their matches have been really good.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Yeah, I've talked to the guys, too, and they keep telling me that the tour is doing great and the kingdom's doing awesome, and I couldn't be happier for them.
On that show, there was obviously one of the best matches of the year, an absolutely classic G1 final with Okada and Shinsuke. Did you get a chance to see any of that, and what was that like being there in person for?
I did. And it was really, really wild because a lot of us were watching it in like a monitor in the back. And at one point, I actually left and got up and went like underneath the people and was watching it up on the big screen to watch it there so I could hear and feel the people too. And yeah, just surreal. So cool to see those guys just absolutely tear it up and put on a match for the ages. It was really cool.
Mike, you got anything else on any of those topics?
I mean, just real quick, you know, considering like New Japan now is really recently just coming out with this NJPW world where they said like they want to try to compete now with WWE. Do you like as a wrestler maybe kind of maybe see New Japan as an option now? I'm sure, you know, WWE is the goal for everybody. But I mean, now like you kind of notice now more like there's maybe another a place to go if WWE say wasn't to work out. Like is like Japan becoming more and more like a thing where you've been considering like, you know, maybe ever like if anything was to ever happen to where you know, going over there more often.
Sure. Yeah. No. It's to me, it's really, really exciting to actually be a wrestler right now because I feel like there is a resurgence kind of places to work where you can at least make a living. You know, because
exactly,
that's really
yeah.
forever. It was like there's top guys on the independents who hustled like crazy and worked for a bunch of different promotions. Some of them were able to live with two or three other wrestlers and just get by in like a, you know, crappy apartment complex. But now there's all these new options opening up. And just to know that I, you know, New Japan enjoyed having me over there and I still talk to them and obviously Seth Rollins honors them really good. It's really exciting to think that, yeah, there was a chance that I could not only make a living, but make like a really good living in pro wrestling, and it wouldn't have to be with WWE. And like you had said, it's not saying that WWE is not where everyone wants to eventually give a shot, but it's refreshing mentally to know that that is no longer the end all be all.
Exactly. Like Kenny Omega, for example, is a guy where I even think he was in the WWE system for a little while, but maybe he's at the point where, you know, he kind of maybe found the place where Japan is, a you know, he can make a living where it's not, okay, well, I can't make it in WWE, then I guess, you know, I'm done as a wrestler and, you know, just pack it up. And
look at the guys in Lucha Underground, like Ricochet and
yeah.
people like that doing big things there. It's, yeah, a lot of options, and it's good to see. And, yeah, even on this side of the world, like guys in Germany and the UK, I know, who are able to make a pretty decent living off wrestling, and it's pretty cool to see. But one question I just had was on New Japan, like if you had your sights set on spending more time there and say maybe next year, would you have your eye more on maybe going in as a junior heavyweight, or do you think you'd, because like size wise I think you'd be like, I mean, compared to like a Tanahashi or something like that, I don't think there's that big of a size disparity, so I almost think you'd fit better with the heavyweights than a lot of the junior heavyweights, but obviously you could go with those guys too, and it would work real well. Would you have a preference either or?
Sure. For me, for sure, it would have to be heavyweight as a preference. And the reason being is, first of all, New Japan actually views me as a heavyweight just because of my position in Ring of Honor. Like, well, you know,
oh,
when I
awesome.
Came over and I was world champion, they immediately said, okay, this guy's a heavyweight. And, you know, that's why that me teaming with Bennett, you know, I'm viewed, just as big as Bennett in their eyes. Like, you know, I'm viewed as a heavyweight guy. And in Japan, certainly, you know, there's much more of a highlight, to me on the heavyweight competitors. So I would love the chance, to be in that category. But of course, too, wrestling as a junior heavyweight would be just fine. But if I had my pick, I would definitely pick heavyweight.
I think one of my dream matches for 2015 is you versus Tetsuya Naito. I think we need to see that happen. That would be awesome. Maybe not Ishii just yet. We'll ease you into Ishii before you just like you get absolutely clubbered by him. I guess let's get on to PWG,
which we haven't really
talked a whole lot about yet. And, the first question I gotta ask, for longtime listeners of our series here with you, will know the connection you have with Zack Sabre Jr. And how cool was it for him to be over there at Battle of Los Angeles this year and for you to wrestle him in what I thought was an incredible match? And nothing against this match, because I thought this match was incredible too. The Kyle and Zach match is getting a lot of credit. And as I said, nothing against it. It absolutely deserves it. But I thought your match with Zach was every bit as good as that one. So a different kind of match in many ways, mm-hmm. but phenomenal match. I loved it. And what was it like for you, the experience of having Zach over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, thanks so much. Going on that topic, that 100% was my favorite match that I've ever had with Zach. And it was my favorite match of the weekend that I was involved in. Getting to have Zach over there was so, so cool. Because for me, when I first came to Germany or WXW and wrestling over there and being nervous because it's a new crowd and you know, I'm barely known in the United States, so I'm not expecting anyone to know me over in Germany. And, you know, Zach being so giving and so willing to make me look like $1 million, it was kind of cool. And I by no means am taking credit for the reason that Zach got over, because Zach did that on his own. But I was more than happy to have a match with Zach where he could do all of his cool stuff and kick the crap out of me and just make him look as good as possible, because he did that for me so many years later. So to me, again, it was awesome, but it didn't surprise me in the least. You know, the fact that some of the fans on by night three were chanting best in the world at Zach by the time he was out there is just a testament to how great he really is. All three of us know it. So it's about time that he got the chance to showcase how talented and how skilled this guy really is.
I loved hearing Excalibur's reactions to him on commentary, because I think Excalibur was kind of like somewhat aware, maybe had seen like clips or two here and there, obviously like heard the likes of me just ranting on about how great he was for years, but I don't think he was super familiar, and I think he was expecting someone that was quite good, but that it was like it went a level past that for him, and you could just hear it as reactions. He was like, holy fuck, this guy's amazing.
right. I think Zach shocked a lot of people, and I think he certainly made a whole bunch of new fans too, because you know, we know how watched PWG is. And, you know, PWG had asked me, they said, you know, hey, I heard you and Zach have worked really well together in the past. Would you want to have a match with me first round of Bola? And I said, absolutely. There's not a single person in the tournament that I would rather wrestle. So I was really glad we got that chance to do that.
I thought, like, it started out good, like, on night one, because you had the six-man with, you know, you and the Bucks against him and Chuck and Kenny Omega. And I think, like that's one of those matches where, like, I went back and watched it. I was there live, and, like, you know, that was, like, my first, you know, show in Reseda, and, like, being in that building and being, you know, with that crowd. And I can just, you know, just imagine as a performer how incredible it is, like, and how, you know, it's been well-documented. But, like, the way that Zach just came out there and, like, no one really knew who he was except for maybe, like, 10 people, like, myself included and, like, the two guys next to me that were from, you know, England. So, like, no one really kind of knew who he was, but, like, at the end of it, they were, like, just amazed. And, like, a match like that where, like, a complete unknown is just made in one night, it's just incredible. So, like, I think it's really kind of like you and the Bucks, like, really being, like, the perfect basis for Zach and, you know, kind of leading him to that. Because I think, you know, like I said, no one, like, knew him before the show started. Like, no one was coming up, you know, but, you know, everybody selling T-shirts, like, after the show, you know. And for the rest of the other two nights, you know, he was mobbed. So it was just, like, pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was great. It was so cool to see how well he was received in such a short amount of time. And it was exactly what you said. It was the perfect platform for him to do it. But, I mean, again, the craziest thing for me was, you know, Zach was the most over guy, and he's in there with Chuck Taylor and a returning Kenny Omega. Like, that was just mind-blowing to me that Zach was the one that people were, like, you know, all raving about. So it was so, so cool. It was so awesome. And there was actually and I love Kenny. This is by no means me digging on him, but going towards the finish, there was a flying knee that caught me that I didn't know it at the time, but it certainly knocked me out. So I'm watching this finishing stretch of me taking, you know, Croyd's Wrath and then Zach's kick and then, you know, Awful Waffle. And I am just dead weight for all these guys. Just completely out of my feet. So I remember feeling really weird and not remembering certain parts of the match afterwards. So, yeah, that was a pretty brutal one.
How were you the next day? Did you recover okay from that?
Oh, yeah, I was totally fine. It was by knock and loopy, I mean, it was, you know, slightly. You know, I lost a little bit of balance in my legs. That was it. And of course, you know, stuff like that in wrestling happens. It was actually, for me, he was a big guy on my list to wrestle, Kenny Omega, so I was glad that out of PWG I got the chance to do that. He's just as good as everyone says he is, so.
And you had 2 6-man tags that weekend with the Bucks, and what was it like throughout the year being a part of Mount Rushmore with the Bucks and for about 6 months or so, Kevin Steen? That group dynamic was just fabulous. I loved it. What's it like getting the mix up with those guys and sort of bounce stuff off each other?
Yeah. The funny thing is you know, obviously in wrestling, there are lots of times where guys are thrown together and it's made to seem like, these guys are, you know, friends or they're tight and, you know, we'll fight to the end together. But the truth of the matter is, we all are legitimate, really, really, really good friends. So we all talk every day. There's a group Voxer that we have where we all talk to each other. They have Voxers like this walkie-talkie thing. So, I mean, yeah, we, you know, forming the group for us was such like a natural process of, hey, you know, let's all get together. Let's all start this crazy storyline in PWG and, let's all just run wild out in Reseda. And, yeah, all the time, you know, I'll bounce ideas off the Bucks. I'll bounce ideas off Steam. We'll all run stuff by each other all the time. So, yeah, it's really, really cool, and it was so, so awesome that we got to do that for so long. And there was, like, a tweet I put out a couple of days ago. I think it was the day before Thanksgiving, where I said, no matter where we all end up, Mount Rushmore is for life. And it's a very, very true statement. We all really, really care about each other.
And what are some of the things you'd like to do in PWG in 2015? Is there any guys you haven't really had a chance to work, maybe like someone upcoming like a Trevor Lee or someone like that who you have your sights set on for some stuff next year?
Yeah, I think it's funny you say that, because that's exactly those are the exact type of guys that I want to wrestle in PWG. I was fortunate enough to have that really long PWG world title run. I was fortunate enough to be in you know, that group with Mount Rushmore and things like that, and obviously me and the Bucks are still there. But for me, I'd like to wrestle a lot of the new guys coming in and a lot of the young guys, because I think I'm at this point now where my character is so established there that I have the chance to, you know, work with some of these newer guys coming in, and we can have some really exciting matches. So, like, again, for example, coming up at the next show, Black Cole Sun, I'm wrestling Cedric Alexander, which is a guy I've wrestled in Ring of Honor, and we've had great matches together, but I'm even more excited to wrestle in the PWG just because of that crowd. So, yeah, I'd really like to wrestle a lot of the up-and-coming young guys.
Mike, any other PWG comments?
Yeah, real quick before, I have a few other non-PWG questions asked, but just to go back earlier in the year, back to May, Kyle defeated you for the PWG title. And obviously, I think, you know, you and Kyle are always, you know, I think you and Zach are obviously two going to be always going to be tied, but you and Kyle are obviously going to be tied. I think it was just around this time, because I think it was that Saturday after Thanksgiving where it was the Dragon Gate show at the old ECW Arena where, you know, I think was it you guys met each other for the first time before, you know, you went out there and, you know, here we are today, you know, where you guys are both, you know, on top of your game. So it's kind of crazy like that, you know, he basically beat you. It was a great match. It was another one of those weird, like, stipulation matches that you two seem to have where it was submission or knockout only, but it worked, you know, because I think, obviously, you know, I think the PWG crowd kind of, you know, gets a little bit more. So explain the your thoughts on that match. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, it's so crazy. Like, for whatever reason, I wasn't even thinking that it's, it's got to be close to that, Dragon Gate USA match that we had. Because we had it back in November. That's so crazy that.
Yeah, I remember it being. Because I just remember it being like after Thanksgiving, like coming home like that, the next day for it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, man, that's nuts. So getting to wrestle Kyle, again, for me, it was really cool because obviously being at the shows, it was neat seeing how, over Kyle's character was getting. And, you know, we really knew that he was white hot and the time is now, and, getting to wrestle Kyle again in a knockout and submissions only match, out of PWG was a lot of fun. Me and Kyle have great chemistry together, and, the fun I had as the evil heel champion with lots of interference and people just not wait, couldn't wait for me to lose the belt. The pop that Kyle got at the end was all, made it all worth it for sure. Like it was really, really cool to see how genuinely excited those people were. So yeah, anytime I get to get in there with Kyle, I always love it.
So I got to ask you, because your character and the way you're wrestling in the ring has evolved a lot in the last maybe year and a half to 2 years, into taking the kind of current form it's in at the moment. Who are some of the guys right now that you're studying and you're being influenced by? It can be like someone who's currently wrestling right now or someone you're going back and seeing tapes of, both in the sense of promos and just in-ring wrestling.
Sure. In ring, for me, it's not so much that I'm particularly studying this guy, but I really, really enjoy the way that, Randy Orton goes about his matches. I do. Like, if you guys have
that's
noticed,
that's so funny because I had a feeling you might say Randy Orton. I don't know why that was.
Yeah. Cause, I certainly have slowed down a lot. I certainly have focused much more, like, for me, the spots that I'm planning or thinking of are, you know, facial expressions that I make into a camera after I do whatever move I'm going to do. Like, I'm so much more focused now on trying to tell the audience exactly how I'm feeling at all times when the camera is on me. So I think I've certainly been influenced by him, and I think Randy does that perfectly. Promo-wise, it's funny, like, I actually kind of stepped outside the box a little bit. I was always a big fan of the James Bond films. And the reason that I liked James Bond so much was the different bad guys that he would have to go against. And I always loved the promos that the villains would cut on James Bond when James Bond was in all this peril. So I've been watching some of these guys and the way that they carry themselves and the way that they talk very quietly, but they're very confident and, just how arrogant they look in every possible way. Like, they've never been defeated at anything they've ever done in their life, and they never will. That's actually some of the stuff that I've been studying. They're kind of like, be more outside of the box and not have, like, your quote-unquote wrestling promo. So, that's some of the homework I've been doing.
The other option I had in my head is someone who you might say it was either going to be Randy Orton or, and I mean this in with the absolute most complimentary sense, because I absolutely love this guy, Nick Bockwinkel.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, if you went to watch, like, a load of old Nick Bockwinkel, the promos and in-ring stuff, I think you'd find a lot of stuff you like that you could turn into something for Adam Cole. And,
it's funny that you say that, because I've been told by more than one person that my promo style is very much like Nick Bockwinkel. Yeah. So, yeah, it's funny that you say that. Yeah, I'll definitely have to.
Jericho, Jericho has said that in his 2008 run against Shawn, when he completely changed his character and he was in the suits and all this, he was so influenced by Nick Bockwinkel during that run. I want to ask you about coming to these shores this weekend. You were over in Preston City Wrestling for, God, I think was it like four or was it five shows, including all the afternoon shows they did as well, the Ring of Honor, PCW shows. Sounds like they were an absolute blast, but the first thing I did when I got on Twitter this weekend and wanted to find out about what was happening at the shows is I asked people who were there what like their highlight had been so far, what had been the best match, and I was told by so many people it was Adam Cole versus Dave Mastiff. And I am a huge Dave Mastiff fan, and he is a cohort of yours in the Suplex clothing brand, which we'll talk about in a minute. But what was it like getting in there with Dave, and how much did you enjoy that match?
Oh, man. Coming home from that trip, certainly just, like, reflecting on everything, the match I had with Dave was one of my favorites I've had all year. I've wanted to work with Dave for such a long time. He, again, was a guy when I first came over to the UK as a 20-year-old terrified kid who'd never been away from home for more than, 5 days, and knowing I was going to be there for a month and a half. Dave was a guy that was so nice and so respectful and just treated me like one of his buddies right away. And then watching him while I was there, I was like, gosh, this guy is so good and he's so agile for his size. I really hope I get the chance to wrestle him one day, and it just never happened up until this past Friday, at PCW, an ROH Joint show. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. It was a total pleasure. And I agree with you, Alan. He's just every bit as good as people say he is. He's awesome.
Was that your first time for PCW, or have you worked for them before?
It was. It was my first time there. The crowd was awesome. The office and everybody were great. It was a very professional setup. But yeah, those fans were really cool. I really enjoyed the building that they ran. It's a cool environment.
Yeah, I've never got a chance to go over to any of their shows myself, but I've seen a lot of their shows on tape, and they look like a blast to be at, and it just looks like a lot of fun, and they put together great matches, and they seem to have a lot of pretty good stories. I don't follow the story super intently. I'm not seeing it show to show, but like they seem to have a lot of cool stories going, and I know they have a lot of guys. They've like it's funny how like they'll have like a guy like Chris Masters or even Uha Nation who were probably just originally like guys they brought in just for maybe just a show just to see how they'd. Like just to, as they were a name or whatever, or they were someone that had a bit of buzz, and bring them over for a show, and then they've become almost like regulars that they use on every show, and as if they're like a local guy. It's crazy. It's something a bit different, I think, but it's just the fans, kind of their fan base gets attached to certain people. And I don't know. Did they do much of the singing for Uha over the weekend? Did you get to see any of that?
Oh yeah. Uha Nation was really, really popular. Chris Masters got a ton of heat. Right, pretty much all the guys, they were very, very receptive to the Ring of Honor guys and definitely the PCW regulars. I can't think off the top of my head. They had some really funny chants for Chris Masters, and me and him wrestled each other, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was, but it was pretty hysterical. They were very interactive. Very entertaining, and I know it's cliche because you hear it all the time, but those fans were just as much a part of the show as the wrestlers. They were great.
You looking forward to coming back over to Europe in 2015? Anything set yet, or something that's on your wish list for next year?
Nothing is set in stone, but I always love coming to Europe. I would love to. Get the chance to for me too. I'd love the chance to wrestle in Ireland and Scotland, just because I really want to go, and I haven't gotten a chance to do that yet. But yeah, wrestling in England and wrestling for WXW in Germany would be great. I am going back to Australia in February.
Oh,
for
nice!
The New Horizon Pro Wrestling in Perth. Mana is the promoter there. He's gosh, one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in the world, and he's got a great group of guys and some really, really cool fans there too, so I'm looking forward to that.
Probably very nice weather in Australia around February, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah. And actually that reminds me, just on the subject of wrestling over here, I was at the Rev Pro show in June where you wrestled Devitt and another suplex guy at the time. What a match that was. That was one of my favorite matches I've been in attendance for this year. And I've been to a lot of shows this year. And I just thought you guys killed it in that main event. From Devitt coming down as Bane, I think that's just like kicked things off on a great note. And the match you guys had, I actually showed it to one of my friends who, long-time wrestling fan, doesn't watch a whole lot of wrestling these days, but he had never seen any of your work before, but he was familiar. He's very familiar with Fergal from over here, he was actually just saying to me like how impressed he was by you, and he was asking me to send him like more your matches and stuff like that. So definitely a match that I think translated well.
Oh yeah, that's great. I was really hoping I was going to get the chance to work with Devitt, but I was figuring that it wasn't going to happen, just based on I knew where he was headed, and the fact that he spent most of his time in New Japan, and I hadn't worked for New Japan at that point. But then when I found out that Rev Pro was going to do it at this first time ever International Dream match, I was so excited because, you know, I had talked to Devitt before. Me and him had kind of become friends through different acquaintances and just talking through social media and things like that. But I was absolutely stoked for it. Like you said, when he came down with Bane, how cool that was. Actually, that building was probably my favorite venue that I've ever worked in the UK.
It's awesome. It's historic, and it's got great acoustics, everything.
Man, it was so cool. And the fans were, again, so great. So, I really enjoyed that match.
Mike, have you got any final questions?
Yeah, I just have a few. I'd mentioned social media real quick. One of the things I wanted to bring up was, obviously, using social media now, it's incredibly, you know, obviously it's popular and it's, you know, it's relevant. And, you know, it's kind of one of these necessities in the world now. And you kind of do it right where, you know, you kind of use your Twitter, you know, for some personal, you know, reasons, whatever like that. But you still kind of realize, you know, you have a character to play, you know, really 24 hours a day. You know what I mean? Like you're selling, you know, your upcoming matches constantly. So basically it's more of kind of and I think you even had a funny tweet a while ago where it was like, I have a little spare time, so if you have any questions, go fuck yourselves because I'm over here chilling out or something like that. It was one of those things. it was one of those things. Right. It wasn't exactly. You said a lot more smarter than that, but something like that, you know. And I think, you know, you're always seeing people.
That's brilliant. Sorry,
it was so good. That's why you said I'll never forget that tweet. I favored it just so I could remember. You know, it was great. But, you know, you're always hearing stories like, oh, this guy's getting in trouble over social media, and not even in wrestling, but, like, everywhere, like, every single job in the world, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, part of your job as a professional wrestler on social media, like, are you, like, you know, like, having something ready, you know, typing it up and, like, you know, maybe put it in the draft box, you know, or let me think about it, you know, or, like, how do you kind of maybe handle social media now? Because, you know, not only as a heel character where, you know what I mean, you can't be like, oh, sitting here watching Family Guy, you know, like, no, you're the dickhead, you know, bad guy wrestler, you know what I mean? You shouldn't be tweeting stuff like that, you know, something like that, you know? So, like, how do you handle it as both a heel wrestler and as a professional wrestler in general, like, you know, with the job working for, you know, a corporation like, you know, like Sinclair?
Exactly. What you said is, you know, how important it is now and how it literally is. I think the problem is that some people, whether it be, you know, entertainers, athletes or anything like that, view social media, not as being a part of your job, but it very much is a part of who you are and what your job is and what you're trying to, represent. So, the fact that I have a Twitter and I have X amount of followers, I know that I'm representing the company Ring of Honor, and more importantly than that, as a professional wrestler, you're supposed to be portraying this character. And don't get me wrong, in 2014, I generally think that most people realize that what we do is a performance. But it's still really, really fun to suspend people's disbelief and having me tweet really nasty things all the time. As a matter of fact, I know that's why people will follow the Twitter. It's a big reason the Young Bucks Twitters were so popular for so long. Because I had all these great tweets that were in character of all these hilarious things that they were tweeting out. So yeah, it's very, very crucial, not only for your own character and establishing like a real reputation for that character, but for the integrity of the promotion that you're working for. I think it's very important. I'll tell you what, I take social media so seriously that I was on the fence about putting out a tweet about my grandmother passing away. But because she meant so much to me, I had one of those screw it, I don't even care moments.
Things like that.
But even then I made it vague, and I know that probably sounds insane to some people, but it's so true. I am so concerned with how I'm presented on social media, just because right now it's the most hot thing. Everyone's on their phones, on Twitter or Facebook all day. So I'm going to make sure that when someone sees a post from Adam Cole, it's from Adam Cole. It's not from somebody else.
Yeah, because like you notice like wrestlers now, because I mean, you know, you're a little bit older now, you know, like, and you're seeing people mm-hmm. coming in the locker room where that was once you, you know, just a couple years ago. And, you know, I'm 30 years old now. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm seeing some of these younger wrestlers coming out, and it's like, I don't buy you at all as a pro wrestler. You're just some dude. And like, even like Dave kind of said it like on Observer Radio today, where, you know, there's kind of the wrestlers who go into a wrestling match like they're about to have a fight with one another. And there's other guys who go into the match and are like, all right, here we are to do our premeditated, you know, moves and stuff like that. There's like [S2] Yep. [S1] A different mindset with like, you know, one kind of group of wrestlers and like, say, the people who do take it seriously, such as yourself. So like, it really is appreciated. And I don't know, like, if it's something where like you maybe as a little bit older, kind of maybe telling these younger guys, you know, because maybe you're the guy now where people are asking you for advice, you know? So it's kind of a thing where it's crazy like that, yeah.
It's funny that you bring that up because, yeah, I certainly now more than ever have been thrown into this leadership role. And for me, I more so lead by example. But if there are young wrestlers that ask me for advice, I'm more than happy, to give them advice. Actually, one of my favorite things to do now is I'm one of the coaches at the Ring of Honor seminars. And for those 2 days, I mean, I've really discovered seriously that when my body can't take it anymore, or whenever I eventually retire, I 100% am really looking forward to running a wrestling school, because I really love teaching and I really love giving back, because I know how I was when I was really young. People would give me advice and I was just so thankful and so appreciative of that. But answering your question about social media, what Dave said and what you're saying, you're 100% right. And the biggest difference, if I were to simplify it as best as I can, is the guys that know how to be on Twitter and know how to be on social media come across like genuine stars. And the people that talk on wrestling social media, like, hey, can't wait to go in there with my buddy so-and-so tonight. We're going to tear the house down. Not really the best way to go in there as far as my opinion of when you're tweeting about a wrestling match. Or posting a photo of you two together afterwards. That's probably not the smartest idea. If you want to be treated as a star, and again, that's not going to happen overnight. If you're representing yourself on Twitter a certain way, for an extended amount of time, over a period of time, people believe you're a star. There was a hilarious thing I heard in an interview, was this. And I'm not saying I agree with CM Punk's, opinion, but it's very true about perception. Is Punk said, the reason The Miz is viewed at as a WWE champion and the reason that The Miz was in a WrestleMania main event is because he, for such a long amount of time, tried his best to convince everybody that he was a star that people ended up believing it. And there's a very strong, powerful statement behind that, because if you come across like a star and you tell people you're a star, And I'm not saying arrogantly in real life. I'm saying, you know, it's presenting yourself as a professional wrestler. If you come across this way on social media for an extended amount of time and you carry yourself and you walk to the ring like a star and you talk like a star and you wrestle like a star, eventually you're going to be a star.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing, and you were talking about training, you also did a little bit of training at CZW, and I know that you're not working for CZW these days, but obviously you're going to be linked to CZW in your career just because that's, you know, where you started. So first question is, how's Tyler doing? Because I always have to ask about Tyler because
I love it. I'm so happy you do. Yeah, well, the great part is you're the only person that asks, and that's why I love it. The reason I love it is because, as you guys know from doing this show 10 times, is he seriously is my childhood best friend, so I love talking about him.
Go ahead.
He's doing great. He recently got married. Did we mention this?
It was a year ago, yeah, so...
He got married to this beautiful girl who absolutely adores him and treats him great. His child, Owen, is doing fantastic as well. He's actually in the process of becoming a police officer, which is crazy. He's just doing really, really awesome. Tyler has and always will be a family man, and he's always been a wrestling fan, and he still keeps up on. Yeah, he actually called me the other day. We talked for like 10 or 15 minutes. And Tyler mentioned he does. I just want you to know that me and Owen sit down here on the couch every Saturday night and watch you wrestle on Ring of Honor, and he gets so excited when you're on. And he showed me a picture of Owen all excited that I was on Ring of Honor TV. So there's something really cool about that. But, me and Tyler still talk all the time. He's doing great.
That's right. The Harrisburg affiliate gets it, right? So you guys probably get it around there. I wish Philadelphia got it. I wish Philadelphia got it so bad, man. I really
I know, man.
I gotta wait till Monday.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, definitely I miss those the old Colin Veritas days back in the East of Urena in 2010, you know. But
I know that day before the wedding, when I posted that picture of Colin Veritas reunion, I know that you were going to favorite that. I knew it.
You're right. You knew it was coming. Because I even think, like, you mentioned him on the show that you did with Dave and Brian a couple months ago, like, and I think Dave was, like, so touched by the story that, like, you guys sat in he sat in the same seat when, you know, watching him win the title, that he, like, even reported it on the in the Observer the next week, you know. So that was cool that he.
Very cool.
Yeah, but CZW doing really good. You know, I think Drew Gulak's doing a really good job. Like, what are your thoughts on them right now? Just because I know, you kind of grew up a little bit with Joe Gacy, you know, in the biz, you know, growing up, and Shane Strickland too, and David Starr is another guy. So, you know, basically just general thoughts on, like, you know, some of the young guys there.
Yeah, sure. Are you asking me about the CZW guys or the young guys at CZW?
Either or. You know, I know our buddy. I know even our buddy George is training, you know, right now. So
That's amazing. Gosh, me and him still talk about meeting in line at Best of the Best 7, and we became best friends for an hour because both of our favorite wrestler was CM Punk. So it's so cool that he's doing that. Obviously Drew Gulak getting to go out at PWG is really, really cool. Drew was always a locker room leader for CZW, but he is even more so now. I love the fact that Joe Gacy's coming into his own. You know, I still catch CZW when I can, so I'm excited to see if they're doing well. And my two favorite young guys in the world, man, are David Starr and Shane Strickland. I talk to those guys on the regular. They oftentimes ask me for advice. I'm happy to give it to them because they're young, they're hungry, they're motivated, and they're doing really, really well right now.
Yeah, David Starr. David Starr, man. I'm telling you, man. This guy, he's gonna make it. You can definitely just get
the... Yeah, I've enjoyed what I've seen of him so far. Him and... what's his partner's name again? Hello?
Oh, I'm here.
Am I still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah. What's his partner's name again? JT Dunn, that's it.
Yeah.
They're a good tag team. I've enjoyed what I've seen of them so far.
Definitely so.
Yeah, yeah. So, the, yeah, those two guys, like I said, I'm so proud of them and I'm so happy for them. I think they're going to have a really good 2015.
Mike, anything else before we get on out of here?
Yeah, just nothing really, man. Just all the best. Like, I think, you know, it really is crazy because we did this, our first show, to kind of wrap things up, you know, right after you had the match, it was you, Eric Cannon, Ricochet, and Chuck Taylor, that four-way in Dragon Gate. And right. Eric Cannon was always a guy, I mean, Eric Cannon's been around, I think, since like 2002, so he's always been a guy well-established, but it really seems like since that match, you know, Ricochet's taken off to where, you know, he won the New Japan Best of the Super Juniors, you know, and he did really well in
that
Dragon
Gate. That was the match that got him noticed by Dragon Gate.
Exactly.
Team, I love that match.
Yep.
And that was a match where, like, you know, that was around the time where, you know, and the, you know, hey, the way the wrestling business, you know, was and, you know, still is in a way where you kind of had to choose between Dragon Gate and Ring of Honor. And obviously you had to go the way of Ring of Honor. But, I mean, look how that, you know, it's turned out now. So I think it's really something where, like, you know, you kind of go back and see where, you know, you and Ricochet are like these two with, I think what Kevin Steen signed are maybe the two top guys right now that, you know, you would think would be on WWE's radar, you know, so. All the best, man. And like I said, I hope that we can talk to you again before, you know, we ever have a, you know, a pocket where we're unable to talk to you because, you know, you have contract limitations to do so. So all the best, man. Like I said, you know, I think it's really cool, you know, Saturday main event and, you know, two pay-per-views in, you know, Ring of Honor has had and your main event in both of them. So all the best.
Let's give the people all the info they need for a final battle this Saturday on pay-per-view. It's in Terminal 5 in New York City, if you're in the area. I don't know, is it sold out yet, or?
It is completely sold out. It is completely
sold out. So, yeah, even if you're in New York, you just gotta watch it on pay-per-view if you haven't got a ticket. So, check that out. And, anything else you wanna plug, Adam, the time is yours to, anything you wanna talk about, Suplex, anything?
Yeah, sure. Actually, again, kind of like you had mentioned, ROHWrestling.com will give you all the information that you need to check out our pay-per-view event this Sunday. It's Final Battle. This is our version of WrestleMania. It's the biggest show of the year. It's going to be a wild show. As far as me, you can follow me on Twitter at AdamColePro. My website, AdamColePro.com, has a bunch of new T-shirts in the store section, so definitely go check that out if you're interested in supporting you that way. And then, yeah, suplexwrestling.com. Also, you can check out Team Suplex and all of our cool Suplex apparel, which I am wearing right now. Right now, this very moment. So go check it out.
I was talking to Joel from Suplex at the last Rev Pro shows I was at, and he is an absolute gent of a man, a really nice guy. And, yeah, I think he's doing great things with that. And I was shocked when I realized, like, as I was talking to him, that it only really got off the ground, like, February, March, April this year. Because I remember they were over at Mania in New Orleans, and they were just kind of handing out business cards and
right.
just kind of getting the brand out there. And it's hard to believe that's, like, it's less than a year. And, like, you probably have seen this yourself. I don't know if they were selling stuff at PCW, but, like, at the Rev Pro shows that I've gone to, when they're selling stuff, there's just lines going all the way around with people. And they're sold out of pretty much everything they bring at every show I've seen them at. So it's a really cool, popular brand. And I'm delighted to see that it's something that can help the wrestlers like yourself, and it's something cool for fans to pick up on.
For sure.
I have just one quick thing to plug for Adam is actually two things. If you go on the ROH website, you can see there's a real cool angle with him and Papa Briscoe that I think you could watch right now. It's right on the front page. And I watched it because I had the ringside membership for the month, but I think available starting Thursday, if you don't have it, your match with Matt Sydal, which was excellent. Really
nice.
Great match.
Looking forward to
will be on there. So you can check that out. If you know, by the time you listen to this podcast, it might, you know, be on there. It's gonna be on Thursday, I guess they release it. So yeah, great match, man. And all the best.
Awesome.
Like, yeah, definitely.
And good luck on Saturday. I hope the match is awesome. I'm sure it will be. I hope the whole card goes off perfectly because it's a great card, and I'm hoping that it's a really good show to close out a really good year for Ring of Honor. I thought Final Battle last year was an excellent show, and I thought it was when I watched that show last year, I was like, okay, this is really kind of closed out 2013 well and set a real great sort of launching pad for 2014. And now 2014, as it turns out, has been that great year that it seemed like it could be. And now I'm hoping it can be capped off with a great show, which can serve as a launching pad for 2015. So best of luck to you and all the guys involved. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the show. So as always, as Mike said, thank you so much for joining us here. And it's a pleasure as always, mate.
Oh, of course. Yeah, thank you guys both so much. Like you guys know, it's always a pleasure to come on the show. And we'll look forward to talking to you somewhere down the road here soon.
Okay, and everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon as we lead up to the Christmas show, so look out for that. All right, bye, everyone.